everybody, welcome to episode 26 of Game Over Nation. I am your host, Javi Rodriguez, and with me this week is Ryan De La Rosa.
Yo, yo, yo.
And, of course, Dylan Raw Dog Roush.
Is it Raw Dog?
He's Raw Dogging it. All right, well, let's talk about what's been going on this week. I mean, there's a lot of... How do I say this? Well, we've been around. We've gotten around this week. We got a My Brother and Me ad that ran on their... podcast.
Yeah, that's if you're cool. If you're listening to this right now because of my brother and me, then please leave a comment either on my welcome post or on this podcast post. We'd like to know that you're here, so please do that.
Mm-hmm. Also, one of our comics was we were part of Joysticks webcomic roundup this week, which was pretty cool.
Wrap up. God, wrap if up. They're gonna do this for us, don't get the name wrong.
I don't know where I am. Yeah, so that was pretty cool. Make sure to check us out. I'll check all that stuff out. It's exciting.
But, I'm excited.
Yeah, Dylan's so excited.
You should see his nipples right now. He's just sitting over there cutting glass to shreds.
It's chewing on it.
Well, what? I don't know if that... on your nipples? I don't
know. Why would I chew on my nipples?
I'm why are you boss. Chewing on the glass? So you're cutting it up with your nipples
because and it's chewing on it.
Fair enough.
All right, well, let's talk about some of the news that happened this week. Ryan.
Okay. First, we're getting some free Red Dead Redemption DLC. I guess, did it already come out? Did it already come out?
I don't know. Yeah.
No, it's not out yet.
No, it didn't.
I don't think I'll be playing it because I'm not going to go pick up Red Dead Redemption again probably anytime soon. So.
Oh, you traded it in? You got rid of it?
No. I'm not going to literally pick it up from where it is sitting and put it in my game, in my gaming console, and then play it.
But, oh.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, what about you two?
Yeah, we like Red Dead. We'll probably check it out.
I like Red Dead, and it's free.
It's just as good, but it's free.
Okay.
No one's going to know what we're talking about.
I don't.
If you don't, check out Anacondas 2.
The Hunt for the Blood Orchid. It works just as good, but it's free.
Top 10 movies this decade. Time.
Yeah, don't check time. That movie out.
Citizen Kane of snake movies.
Yeah. Never seen a man shave before?
No.
Okay. What else happened?
Okay, well, we got the 3DS got a price drop. And a big one at that. We're talking $80. $80. Wow. Well, it hasn't happened yet. When did they say it was going to happen? Is it later this month?
August 12th.
August 12th is when it happens.
2011.
Yeah. Thank you. That's this month.
Yeah.
But $80 is kind of huge. Like, that's a lot of...
Dollars.
Yeah.
That's a lot of lunch.
Yeah, that's so
a
lunch.
A lot of lunch.
That's 80 days of lunch.
I guess that's a dollar lunch.
It's one of those things they had to do with the Vita getting announced at the same exact price as the 3DS was originally.
One buying the 3DS right now?
Well, I mean, it sold almost 1 million so far.
Yeah, but like, didn't they, the sales,
they probably
projected
plummeted a lot more.
It's a huge disappointment to Nintendo.
Yeah, I'm sure they were projecting much higher. It's crazy when you sell almost 1 million of something and that's a disappointment.
Yeah.
But it had to be done. I mean, the Wi-Fi Vita is going to be... I mean, that's basically a 3DS. As far as, you know, it's a gaming system with Wi-Fi only. You know, from that aspect, you're not losing anything. You're actually gaining a lot more with the specs on it. I guess it had to be done. And for those of you who are pissed off, they're offering an ambassador program. So you get some free NES and Game Boy Advance games. So that's neat.
Woo!
Yeah. So you get some shit you already played. So there you go.
What could Nintendo... what would you prefer that they did? to soften the blow.
Well, there's not really anything else they soften the blow. Maybe offer something new for free, like, you know, something that's, you know, even if it's off their eShop or whatever, just, you know, something.
It'd be cool if they gave like some DS games that you could.
Yeah, maybe that would be all right. DS games, or I don't know. I guess maybe some of the, I guess, what was it called? The DSi Ware, you know, that shop that they had, you know, stuff like Shantae, or I don't know. Fuck, that was probably the biggest one there. So I don't know what else.
Anything else?
Or even just some, you know, some points to buy whatever you want, you know, like kind of like we were saying with the PlayStation the PSN, Welcome Back program. Like, rather than give us these select games, why not just give us some money in our account?
Why don't they do that? I don't get
well, the thing is, the only thing I can hope for is that they actually make it an ambassador program, you know. Nah. So like you get these games, but along the life of the 3DS, so long as you're part of that group, you know, you still get bonuses down the road.
Never. Like,
yeah, that's not gonna happen.
I'm sorry, Ryan.
You don't think so?
No.
Why?
Because like once they do the deed, they're done. I mean, like, there's no... Nintendo gets nothing out of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is... Like, this initial batch of games or whatever that they're giving out, that is the ambassador program. I think, you know, that's as far as they're going to go, because that's all they promised, and people are going to either deal with it or not.
Yeah. I guess.
I don't know. That's what you get. I mean, if you're an early adopter, you have to accept it. Expect these things, you know?
Yeah, but man, this is like the fastest, largest price cut I've seen on a console in, ever. Well, like, ever.
Yeah.
That thing's only been out a few months, and they've already slashed the price, $80.
You see what Iwata said? He's like, we had this opportunity, or like, we could have made this choice with the GameCube, and we didn't, and we suffered the entire generation.
Oh,
like, we had
yeah,
to deal with the consequences for it.
Yeah.
And he's like, so, you know, I was willing to bite the bullet and do it. And actually, it's interesting, like, Iwata, Miyamoto, and a couple other, like, huge, like, executives at Nintendo that made the decision, they all agreed to take massive cuts in their salary. Yeah. Like, Iwata's taking a 50% cut. So there's half his income for the year.
Yeah.
It's gone. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. But
he's got to believe.
You got to believe. I'm sure he'll be all right.
Probably. Yeah. Something tells me those guys have a little money in the bank.
Did Reggie take a price cut?
I don't think so. I think Reggie, his body
wasn't ready.
Yeah. But that's interesting. I mean, yeah, I mean, 3DS, now it's definitely more likely that I'll pick it up, especially with Mario coming out this holiday. Ooh.
Oh, yeah. That's our next bit of news. Super Mario Land 3D in November.
Yes.
And then Mario Kart 7 in December.
Yeah, I don't know about the Mario Kart 7. I read this article that said that, like, this is actually Mario Kart 9, so I don't know.
Well, isn't it retro working on this?
Kart.
See, that's what, like, you brought that up a while back, and then a listener wrote in and said that no, Retro only helped design the Donkey Kong level or one of the levels on there. Like, they're not actually making the game; they just helped out with something.
That's stupid.
Yeah. Yep.
Fuck Mario Kart. Fuck it.
Yeah, I'm done with it. Then forget it.
I'm done with those blue shells.
I don't know. I, you know, if I had a 3DS, I'd probably check out Mario Kart.
Never.
Especially with the lack of titles.
Yeah, what else is there for me to do? So yeah, I'll
Super
probably
Mario
do that.
Land 3D.
Mario Land 3D. I'm so excited for that.
Obviously.
No idea. Obviously. Looks so cool, man.
It's so money.
Word. I don't
know. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I guess that's really it for the news.
Okay. How exciting.
Yeah, super exciting.
All right, well, let's go ahead and move on to our main topic for this week. This week we're going to be talking about protagonists. If you're uncultured, that means the hero of a game or title or story. You know, we're talking about the heroes or the people we play as in video games.
There goes my hero.
Watch him as he goes.
Oh, jeez. You see what I have to deal with, like, all the time?
All right, well, okay. All games have heroes, but they are not all created equal. There are hundreds of different ways to go about creating a flagship character for a title. Today we're going to talk about what works and what does not. Starting off with when you have a hero that doesn't really have any characterization. For example, like the main character in Pokemon, like he never says anything. And there is no real character. It's just, you know, people talking to him. I would argue that like Half-Life also has this too.
Gordon?
Yeah. And even Zelda to a degree. Like you wouldn't think that because you see Link and people have such a strong connection to Link, but what is there?
That could be said about a lot of Nintendo's protagonists.
See?
Yeah.
With Gordon and Link, their characterization is how other people react to them in the game world.
Right.
Especially Gordon Freeman.
Hmm. Yeah, well,
how the resistance members treat him and talk to him. That's where you get your idea of what he's about.
Yeah, well, they also have, like, if you look at Mario or Link or Samus, none of them say much of anything, but they all have very, and Gordon Freeman too, like, they all have very distinct looks. You're going to recognize them. You look at Pokemon Kid, like, it's very generic.
Pokemon Kid.
Like, you're a Pokemon Kid walking around like that.
Right.
There's just something missing from that design that's not, that doesn't,
it's not iconic.
Yeah. Yeah. Like those, yeah, exactly. The other ones are iconic in some way. So, I mean, there's a difference there between, I guess you could call it actual personality and visual personality. I don't know if that makes sense, but.
No, that's interesting because, like, that means that a character almost doesn't need to, like, there's more than just their actions and all that. It's also just the way they look.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not, I don't know. It's necessarily that you're drawn to the look as much as it stands out, you know, it's recognizable for sure.
Yeah.
What?
Dylan. Go Dylan. No, but, yeah, I don't know. Do you prefer, or do you like that? Do you like these silent protagonists? And what makes them work, and what makes them not work?
I kind of do. Well, I mean, again, it depends on what. It's not like I could necessarily say I like them better than anything else. But like Samus from Metroid is like one of my favorite characters. But part of that is the fact that, you know, the world is kind of the,
you project yourself kind of through her eyes, I guess.
Well, not only that, but like the world becomes part of the character. Like walking around those different territories and planets and all that, that becomes associated with the character. So the character grows that way. Like the character is attached to those other things that you like. You saw what Team Ninja did to Samus and made her a whiny little bitch.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't, and it's like the funny thing is, like, you can sit there and hear that and like look at Samus's actions and know that that's out of character.
Yeah.
Like nobody agreed with the Samus that was in Metroid
Other Monologues.
Yeah. Yeah. Metroid Other M. Like no one really bought that because you're talking about this ruthless like bounty hunter who's done all kinds of crazy shit and now she's like scared? Like, no, that doesn't doesn't make a lot of sense. And it's funny because it's like, well, this character whose personality has never really been explored, this is not her personality. Like, you still know that, even though she's never said anything really in the other games.
It's interesting. I think that video games are really the only medium where you can get away with that. You can get away with having a main character that really, the situations they're in, the environment they're in, the people that interact with them, that's what creates that character pretty much, you know?
Right.
And, I mean, you won't see a movie where, you know, the character's a blank slate and you know, or even on almost any other medium, it's because you're actively, you know, kind of controlling that person. I don't know. It's weird. Right. How video games can get away with that, and you don't really think about it, you know?
Well, that's because it's you become that person, that thing. Like, you have to. That's the point. That's the whole playing of a game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Is being that thing or person or whatever it is. Oh, excuse me.
Are there any other characters like that you guys want to talk about? Any that you guys really care about?
That I care about? No.
I mean, I would argue, I don't know, I think Mario, even though he does have a voice, he has quite a bit of, like, kind of retarded, happy personality. He is very, there's not much to him.
I don't know, dude. That cartoon sure did explore his depth.
The Super Mario Super Show?
Yeah.
What was the song?
What? Swing your arms from side to side. Come on, do the Mario.
Oh, no. Let's not do that. Let's never do that again.
Yeah. I don't know. I like Mario. He's cool.
Yeah, I'm fine. Well, I mean, he's the fucking face of Nintendo.
He sure is.
Like, there's no one else even comes close in representing Nintendo as an icon.
Actually, let's talk about the science. Dennis
Hopper as Koopa.
No.
Monkey!
Monkey!
Talk about the science behind walking mushrooms. Let's talk about
the science. No, the science of what makes Mario, like, what? How does, like, it's such a bizarre idea. You have this fat, midget-looking plumber, you know, and it became, like, this icon, like this, it represents a whole company, if not like part of a whole industry.
Right.
And like,
well,
it, like if you were to like sit down and try to design something that could be something like that, there's no, like Mario is probably the last thing you would ever.
Right. But know. That's because it happened in reverse order. Like you took
it happened on accident.
Yeah, like, well, it happened and they've created a character for this game. The game ended up being really good and really popular, and therefore they were able to capitalize on its character. Like, they didn't. Yeah, but, I don't think they went into that game trying to design a character that was going to be their icon.
Yeah, but there's something just so fucking timeless about him, though, that like they've never had to reboot Mario. They've never changed anything about him. Like, he's still exactly how they envisioned him on the 8-bit, you know, on the NES.
Right.
Like, it's crazy.
That was the beginning. That was what really brought consoles to the forefront, was that system and that game and that character. Like, that's, I think that's why he stands out more than most things.
Yeah.
Being a game that popular for the Nintendo, being basically what Nintendo being what saved consoles and Mario being the reason, like, that right there puts him at the top, you know, of that. He doesn't, why would he ever need to change if he has that much recognition, you know?
Yeah.
And Nintendo's done a good job of keeping him in the minds of the younger group because, you know, they keep that same icon and they're putting quality games behind him. So
totally. No, and I remember seeing a study like a year or two ago where they polled a bunch of kids and more kids recognize Mario and know exactly who he is than Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, that's what I was about to guess. That's
so
say.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Yep.
Well, where the fuck has Mickey Mouse been?
Exactly. Yeah. Disney kind of tucked him away.
Yeah.
In favor of shitty live action shows.
Why are you talking so slowly?
Because I can hear myself.
All right, well, let's talk about a different kind of character. Let's talk about the Western RPG character.
The boring archetype. One.
Is it the boring one?
Yes.
All right, so we're talking about the Fallouts, the Mass Effects. Like, just kind of like you pick your path. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. If we talked to Dylan a year ago, I think he'd be like, it's awesome. It's the best. Because you were all about New Vegas.
Dragon Age 2.
So Dragon Age 2 ruined these other games that you liked?
No.
But I don't know. Like, do you guys like this style of a protagonist?
To a point.
Well, I think something like Mass Effect does it well because, yes, even though you're crafting your character or whatever, you're still walking down the paths that BioWare has put there for you.
Yeah, regardless. Mass Effect is less of a blank slate. It's more you have like two or three paths. You know, you have two or three kind of characters you can make.
But I think a lot of games do the same thing. It's just Mass Effect has a good story behind it. And then, I mean, any game, with your choices you're making, you're mostly walking a path that still has to be programmed into this game, you know? Like, even though the path has many branches, it's still a path that's there for you, you know? Like,
yeah, I know. It goes back to that talk we had about morality systems and Dylan was saying, you know, like, it should be dynamic and everything should change and all that. And, but, you know, you can't do that. Games don't create themselves and situations don't
know.
Create.
Yet.
Perfect Yet. Morality system is the Dungeons & Dragons one.
Like the board game Dungeons & Dragons?
Yeah.
Okay.
The lawful good, chaotic evil, true neutral. That's the perfect morality, I think.
But what's I've never played D&D, so I'm totally ignorant about this, but is there like a reward system for all three? And like, are there benefits to being one or the other? Or
it's your character's personality.
Okay. So it's just on a personal level. It's
how you play the character,
right,
and the choices you make in game.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, but even with a game, like, yeah, I guess if you, there's only so far you can expand it, and maybe that's the best one you can think of, but even that way, like, there's still boundaries and rules to it. And there's always going to be. Like, I don't know that you can really truly get away from that. Because, like, I mean, you know, like,
the only way to get away from that is to just write your own story, write a book, you know, or, you know, then at that point, it's not a game. You're not playing someone else's vision anymore.
Right. Because, like, even in Mass Effect, the path choices you make, if you go good or bad, you're still, like, Shepard good. You're still Shepard bad. Like, it's still, see, like, it still has that personality to it, you know?
Yeah. Hmm. Eh. Nah. I don't know. Personally, I'm not too crazy about most Western RPGs. I think they're cool that they're different, like, or, well, maybe not anymore, but, like, in the last couple of years, they were new to the industry, really. I mean, we never had these kinds of games until recently, and now we're getting quite a bit of them because they're gaining popularity. But I don't know, like, I like old-school Japanese RPGs in that they're more whimsical and, like, they have a story to tell that's not so branching paths. I think branching paths are probably not my favorite thing about what's going on with the industry. I know that's weird because, you know, it means more replayability and more stuff to see, but I think that they just feel so canned, you know?
I don't think it's truly branching, though.
Yeah, it's like,
regardless, you are on a path and it just seems like it's branching. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's not true freedom.
Well, ever. And a perfect example of that is Infamous. Like,
Oh, man. That one is so black and white.
Like, even so, though, like, you make a different choice, and it's not that big a deal. You're going to end up in the same
exact
spot. And it's like, well, that's dumb.
I think
I think Infamous would be a better game if it had one solid story that you go through.
I think the closest we've gotten to complete freedom would be Morrowind.
Yeah, those, like, Oblivion and all those, like,
but even there, the main story still kind of goes along a path.
Yeah,
but other than that, you're completely free.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, like, I guess it's hard to, like, have some sort of, I don't know, I guess it matters what you want from a game. Like, do you want an end part of the game, or do you want to just be kind of open and you don't really accomplish? Well, I mean, I don't know.
Well, I think the problem that people have is that you're asking, like, there's so many things in front of gamers these days. Like, you don't want to take the chance. I think developers are probably afraid to take the chance to really have, like, true two true or three true branching, completely different directions you can go, because they don't know if your eyes are going to see it again. You know,
yeah.
There's so much out there for us to play. They don't know if you're going to go that second playthrough. So
yeah.
So they want to be able to make sure you see as much as possible. And if they start branching out on these huge tangents, it might be something that half or a third of their players never even bother to see, you know, like,
I mean, that's a common problem with games like Grand Theft Auto. They're so fucking packed with content and hidden things. Like, how many websites were on the GTA, you know, the fake internet that they have in there? Like, right. How many people actually saw all of those? Probably almost nobody. There's all those radio stations, and they're all fleshed out and have.
If you want to make sure someone sees content. Them all, you make an achievement for it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, but I think that's cool that they went the extra mile. They always go the extra mile. They always pack those games with so much shit to see and experience that I don't know. That's something to be proud of, and I think that's really cool. But yeah, no, I understand the whole why bother mentality. You know.
Yeah.
Actually, an example, I've been playing, or I played Enslaved last night, and that game is such a focused experience. Like, you only have one way to go. There's one story it's trying to tell, and you're just you're along for the ride. It's like reading a book or listening to a story, you know, and I appreciate, I think I like those kinds of stories more than this fake sense of choices, you know, like these fake branching paths. Like, right. I'd rather just experience one cohesive story that they want to tell. But I don't know. Maybe I'm weird.
No, in that sense. I'm okay with that. I don't necessarily prefer one or the other, but we're getting off topic.
Yeah, we are. We're starting talking about like telling stories. All right. But yeah. All right. So let's talk about, characters that kind of define an experience, define a game. I would vote like Nathan Drake in Uncharted kind of carries that whole thing. Actually, the whole cast of Uncharted, they all have such strong personalities.
I think Shepard fits into this more than really? The other one.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
The game pretty much sucks his dick the whole experience.
That's true, that's true.
Same with Dragon Age 2.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. With Shepard, I think there's not a whole lot of personality there. I mean, you have like little glimpses of like little choices in some of the conversations where
right.
a character will shine through. But for the most part, there's not much to him.
But the story is Shepard-centric.
Sure.
He is the center.
Because regardless of whether or not he has personality or something, like what he's doing, the story that's being told and the story that he's living is much bigger than his personality ever needs to be. Like,
right.
Like, he is the central focus of that story because he is the one carrying out his actions. Like, his actions are much bigger than his personality, you know. And
that can be said.
And the consequences and what he's doing, like.
Right.
Like, that's a situation where he doesn't need personality so much.
Right. Well, I think that, like, a character's personality, I don't know, I think that's the category I'm kind of talking about here. Because, like, you're saying his actions kind of define who he is. Well, that's also what we were talking about at the beginning with
right.
Samus and Link and all that.
Right, you know? Exactly. Like,
so, I don't know.
Circle of life.
I think Ratchet and Clank, they have a lot, so much, you know, life to those characters.
Right. I think maybe something like, you know, Sam and Max.
Right. Or, well,
you know,
yeah,
that's,
definitely.
That's, you know, just.
I mean, you can't really do a point and click game without having those kind of over the top characters to kind of keep it engaging.
Right. You know? Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's a great example, though. Those two guys are hilarious. Those games are hilarious just because of the little exchange between those two, and the characters are so good, and the dialogue's typically pretty well written. But that's the nature of those types of games. You have to have that.
Mm hmm.
So, since Tommy's phone went off, Solid Snake?
Yeah. See, Solid Snake's interesting. I was going to mention him, but I didn't know if... I don't know, like, this category, I don't know why, but I just assumed it only was reserved for like characters that were in, had a lot of charisma and were, I don't know. Like, but I think Snake definitely fits in here. No, because there's a lot going on with that guy, man. Like even down to like the first Metal Gear Solid, you see that he's a total loner. You know, he's
Snake lived a hard life.
He sure did. You know, you find out about his little hobbies. You know, he liked to raise what is it, those husky dogs or wolf dogs, whatever the fuck. And he's a musher, and just I don't know. It's just interesting. There's a lot to Snake. I think he's an interesting guy, even if he's a little bit of an asshole. I think he just doesn't understand people. I think that's cool, though. It's a very complex character.
Surprisingly, they were able to do this twice with the same character that looks identical to himself.
What, with the
Big Boss and Big Boss. Snake Eater?
Yeah.
Especially through the Codex calls.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I mean, one thing about the Metal Gear series, I mean, gameplay aside, cause even though the gameplay has always been solid, no pun intended, but the Metal Gear series always had interesting characters with way more fleshed out backgrounds than necessary. You know, they all have like weird stuff in their past that you're like, wait, what? Why would they even consider that being part of it?
Why did Otacon sleep with his stepmom?
And his dad killed himself. What does that have to do with the story? Nothing.
I'm done crying.
No, I mean...
EE.
You got fucking Snake being raised by fucking random people, by dogs. No, I don't know. But, like, it's cool that they pay that much attention to their characters and give them such... you know, such a rich background. I think that's the kind of protagonist that I'm more inclined to like. I think there's more to care about. They're more interesting. And I think, you know, I haven't really thought about this before, but like after talking about it today, I think that I have much less interest in creating my own character and creating my own story, because for the most part, it doesn't end up being nearly as interesting as, you know, something that someone has constructed and wants to show me with their game. But, yeah.
Interesante.
Ryan, do you have a character that's very fleshed out that you enjoy?
I'd have to think. I mean, you can go back to like, you know, Nathan Drake or something. Maybe
I was hoping he'd say Dante.
Say who?
Dante.
Because I was doing the music, I was getting
Devil May Cry.
Oh, I've never.
I like Nero.
I've never played a Devil May Cry game. Ezio in the Assassin's Creed games. Like, mm-hmm. You know, you learn a lot about that character, and you know you see a lot from his younger days up until, well, I guess in Revelations they're going to make him all old and shit. But, I mean, you see a whole story unfold there for that character. That's one that I like. I like the characters and the story in that game more than I like the game itself a lot of times.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But, I think Ezio had a lot going for him at the beginning, and then it's just kind of like, The character just kind of got lost in the gameplay. Like, you don't really see too much of his personality. I've only played Assassin's Creed 2, by the way, so I don't know about Brotherhood, but like at the beginning, you know, there's so much to him. You know, he's a womanizer. He's charming. He's funny. You know, and his family dies, and it's all tragic and everything. And then just all these years go by, and you don't hear a thing from him. He's just murdering everyone, and it's just like, I don't know. I think that game lost touch with what his motivations are and who this guy is by like at least even halfway through Assassin's Creed 2.
Right.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, maybe. I don't.
You'll definitely say that when you play Brotherhood.
But yeah. The thing is, I think you're talking about the motivation. The motivation of things it's no longer his personal motivation. It's the motivation of the assassins. It's not like his motivation doesn't really matter anymore. That's kind of gone. And, you know, he saw this weird thing in that futuristic place. You know, he doesn't know, who Desmond is. And I think part of him is trying to figure out what that was all about too, you know?
Yeah.
Too bad he fucked it up at the end of the game.
Which
doesn't kill the Pope.
Yeah, what the fuck?
And then the point of Brotherhood is to kill the Pope. What?
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's talk about unlikable characters. Now, this is the anti-heroes.
Before we do that, I think someone, and I guess this would kind of go in between what we just talked about and, like, the stuff at the beginning without, you know, any personality, because there's something there, but not a lot. It's something like Master Chief.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. He's not...
Mr. Chef.
Like, he doesn't... Like, he talks, and, you know, his interactions with Cortana, I think those are the most personality you see at any point from him. He's just kind of this bad. And, you know, I'm not surprised. Like, these guys are just trained to do one thing their entire lives. And like,
well, I have a funny point for this. I mean, I have a question about why people, like, worry so much about Master Chief being bland or that there's nothing to him and everything. Like, how is that something that bothers a lot of people in the industry, and they like to point that out and make fun of it? But even though, like you just said, he has those moments with Cortana, there is little bits there. Like, it may be little, but it's there regardless.
Right.
How is Master Chief a point of discussion and like people make fun of it when no one bats an eyelash at Samus, who doesn't do anything up until this last game?
Yeah.
But and I'm not taking anything away from Samus. I think she's way cooler than Master Chief, but I'm just saying that it's funny that if you give a little, then people realize what's not there.
Right.
And people get upset.
Yeah, like you give an inch and they want the mile. Like, yeah, or exactly. you're better off giving them nothing than a little bit.
Exactly. Like, I guarantee you if Master Chief never said anything, if they pulled a Gordon Freeman, I almost said Morgan Freeman,
and put Master Chief in March of the Penguins and had him narrate it.
Now, think of this. What if Half-Life 2 starred John Freeman?
Oh, John Freeman. Watch out, bro. But I'm just saying, like, if Halo
4, March of the Penguins.
if Master Chief never spoke a word,
right,
and was just a silent protagonist from the begin with,
yeah,
do you think the franchise would be seen a lot more or be respected a lot more in a lot of ways?
I don't know, maybe from a narrative standpoint, but I think the game is already pretty heavily respected just as a game, you know, like.
Well, I think the game has a lot of negative connotations with people that just are.
Well, Halo fanatics.
Angry about its success, you know?
Yeah, which is stupid. Yeah. Like, it did so many good things for console shooters.
For the industry.
Yeah, and the industry in general. Like, it, you know, competition is always healthy between, you know, especially with consoles, and it's what made a third competitor viable, you know? Like, it's done nothing but help. You can say whatever you want about, you know, maybe you don't like some of the crowd it draws in multiplayer and all that, but.
Uh-huh.
It's done a lot of good things, and it still does a lot of good things. Like, there's still solid games. Like, even Reach was, you know, especially from a
Reach
game
was
from a
probably the best game of the Halo.
Right, and especially from a gameplay standpoint, like, it's solid. It's very, very solid. It's very good. You know, like, it controls
money.
Yeah,
it's so money.
It controls well.
It doesn't even know it. Just beautiful babies.
but
that being said,
you don't need. Like, what you're saying, I don't understand why people want so much from Master Chief. Like, even if you look at it from a standpoint of, does this make sense? Well, of course it makes sense. Like, he's just grown up learning to kill and fight his whole life. That's what he's done. Like, he hasn't led a life that's
interesting
or cut out to make this, like, deep emotional character. Like, I just, that's not the life he was brought up in, you know? Like,
yeah.
So,
well, what was I going to say? I was going to say that the new team that's taken on Halo for Halo 4, they mentioned that they were going to give Master Chief much more personality this time around, and he's almost going to be almost a different character. And, you know, I feel kind of the same way as when Team Ninja took on Metroid, but I'm like, well, this could either be a disaster or really, really fucking cool. And yeah. I personally think it's going to be really cool, man. Because let's be honest, the Japanese just cheese up anything they touch when they try to add some sort of compelling narrative. Like, they just, I don't know. The Japanese sensibilities when they're trying to tell stories is usually pretty bad.
You mean Samus being all...
thumb down. it was thumbs down.
It was thumbs down.
Yeah.
God, you mean that's not cheesy?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that I'm excited. I'm excited to see Halo 4, and I have faith that a Western team will give us something cool.
I'm excited to see Master Chief give me a thumbs down.
All right. Well.
All right. Unlikable characters.
Unlikable characters. Okay. So I'm gonna give you two examples here. There's one that
Dante.
That's unlikable because of looks. Well, whatever. He's unlikable for many reasons. But okay. A positive example of an unlikable anti-hero kind of nasty character is Kratos. You know, like, I think he works. And I've been known to dislike Kratos, but over time, you know, playing all the games, I can understand the appeal of a character like that. You know, it's just like, fuck the world. I'm angry. And if you want to play that character, you know, it's a powerful thing to play, you know. Mm-hmm. On the other side of the coin, you have nasty characters that couldn't be more unlikable is like Kane and Lynch. Like, I think those are like, I don't want to play as them. Period. They look gross, and then they're like murderers and like horrible, horrible people. And there's no redeeming quality to these guys.
You know, it also falls into the unlikable category.
Lego Joker.
Final Fantasy 13.
The game is an unlikable character.
Everything about it.
Which game?
Including the characters.
Final Fantasy 13.
Oh.
I hate all the characters. They're unlikable. Boring.
And they're unlikable from an annoying standpoint, too.
And they're all paper thin. They're all there to play their, like, one...
trope.
Yeah. And that's it. Like, there's no depth.
Yeah.
Moms are tough.
Yeah, it's awful. And that's another, you know... That's common in Japanese storytelling.
Is a trope?
Yeah, there's not a lot of depth to people. That's why Metal Gear is kind of surprising. Like, you know, it does ham it up here and there. And there's a lot of like, what? Like, human beings don't interact that way. But for the most part, you know, they try to make these characters real, you know?
In Metal Gear's universe, moms aren't.
Moms aren't tough. That's right.
Except for Big Mama.
All right. Well, what do you guys think about unlikable characters? Can they work?
I don't like them.
A lot of the examples that we just listed, Luigi. They don't.
Luigi.
But other than maybe Kratos.
Actually, Luigi is a character that works, even though he's unlikable.
I think he just takes a lot of the sympathetic gamers. Dig him because they're like, oh, he's completely helpless.
He's cute. Even a joke in the games.
Yeah, he's the butt of the joke.
I mean, look at Paper Mario.
Yeah,
or Mario and Luigi. Luigi
Superstar Saga. Yeah. God, Luigi's so fucking useless. I hate him. I hate him so bad.
And then there's Grand Theft Auto 4 Roman.
Oh well, GTA is a good example in general. Like almost all the characters in GTA are bad.
Every character that gives you a mission. Is a fucking ass.
Well, even the protagonist, though, like they're always bad people, and they're committing murder, they're stealing cars. And, you know, they have redeeming qualities, but in real life, they wouldn't be very
good.
Redeeming enough.
Cousin.
Like I was playing Gay Tony, and I'm like, wow, Luis Lopez is pretty cool. Like he's a nice guy, and then I'm just like murdering police officers, and it's all mission accomplished. And he's like, "Yeah, whatever." Yeah, it's just like okay. Yeah, well,
those games have always been counterintuitive in that sense. Like
totally, totally. like it's. I think it's almost better for GTA if you go for either a total asshole like Tommy Vercetti in Vice City, where you know this, you know what this guy is about.
He had no redeeming qualities.
Yeah, there's nothing out of character about him being a piece of shit, you know. But you know, and so
CJ.
Like that's one way to go, or CJ, or you can go to GTA 3 where there is no character. You're just there as like this out of body entity, which is works well for a video game, you know, because you're just hopping into this world, you know, and that character is who you use to interact, and you're just there to do missions and do chaos and have fun.
I imagine it's me beating those hookers with a bat.
Exactly. When you have a character that you're trying to like live out in those games, it's kind of weird, you know. It's hard to connect with a lot of them, I think. But yeah, I don't know. Well, is there any other characters in this category you guys want to talk about?
I've been trying to see if I could bring any more up, but I don't. Not too many games go that route, so
yeah,
it's kind of hard to.
Mario and Luigi 3, you could play as Bowser for a while. Bowser's not a bad guy. He's just the fat kid that was picked on all his life, and so he's gonna date rape Princess Peach.
Whoa. The game where everybody gets laid.
Where everybody scores.
Whoa.
Everybody
scores. Whoa.
Whoa. Jill Sandwich. I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah. Well, let's wrap it up. Let's talk about characters, what we prefer. What do we want in an ideal protagonist? What's our ideal games? It's almost like, what's your favorite game? What's your favorite game genre? And or what kind of character do you want to lead?
Ironically, mine are 3D adventure games or action games. So I like an established character. Like Solid Snake, Dante, Dingo in Zone of the Enders. I like the established character with the set story path.
Yeah.
I love RPGs, though, but those aren't my favorite characters.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, there are RPGs with those kinds of characters, though. Like, Final Fantasy IX, like, Zidane is... You know who this kid is. Yeah, so that's why I like JRPGs kind of a lot more than Western for the most part.
For me, I like the set established character. I think you do, too.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Ryan?
Man, I don't think I have a preference. Like, I could really, really go either way with a game. It just depends on how it's presented to me.
I like Pokemon characters.
No, I don't like that.
Gary was here. Ash is a loser.
Pokemon's interesting because it kind of lets you project yourself. It's almost, you're so detached in a lot of ways from the idea that you are a character. Like, it doesn't really acknowledge, I don't know, in a lot of ways, for me, Pokemon is very much akin to like a puzzle game where it's all about just the gameplay and winning matches and collecting your team of Pokemon. Your team of Pokemon almost have more personality than than the kid, than the trainer. And I don't know, Pokemon's a tricky one because you literally have nothing to go off of with that.
Right.
But
Javi just likes being a little boy in adventure.
That I do. All right. Yeah. All right. Well, that's gonna do it with our talk of protagonists. Let's talk about let's read some listener mail. All right. Let's take this opportunity to remind listeners that if they ever want to send in a question to our show, our email is mail@gameovernation.com. Feel free to do that. And let's start off with a question from Izzy. She says, is Trenched multiplayer any good?
Yes, it is. It's quite good. Well, it's not multiplayer so much as it's co-op, which is multiple players, but I don't know, that always has a connotation of competitive. So it's up to 4-player cooperative, and yeah, that's the way to play. Like, it's a lot more fun if you have people to play with than if you're playing by yourself. Especially, like, because each mission kind of gives you recommendations on what weapons to take. And if you're by yourself, you kind of need to stick to that a little bit. And sometimes play with something with a trench that maybe lets you lay out more more emplacements rather than carrying big weapons. However, when you play with people, you know, one or two of you can maybe get the stuff that you need, and the rest of you can just bring big fucking guns and blow shit up. So it's a lot more fun with more people. You get to work out strategies. Like, the it's fun to sit there with your buddies or whoever you're playing with and, like, talk out who's going to bring what, and then just go out there and wreck shop. So, yeah, it is good. It's very good. It's the way to play. It's much better than the single
player. I like big guns.
And you cannot lie?
No. I'm very capable of that.
Okay, well.
All right, Devin asks, when is Javi going to start playing PC games with cool people like us? Once I have a PC that will run all my games. No, I don't know. I'm never comfortable playing PC because I'm always at a desk. And I feel like I'm working. I don't know.
You must be jealous of my jelly right now.
I'm so jelly.
On the floor.
I don't know, man. Find me a PC game that really, like, does it for me. And
have you tried World of Warcraft? Yeah. Oh, fuck.
I've tried it. I've tried it like 4 times. I don't know why. Fuck World of Warcraft.
Let's play the fuck out of Age of Empires.
Yeah, Age of Empires. Let's do that. Let's play that, Devin. Get that shit. Alright, next question is from Ramesh Martin. He says, Javi, if you haven't already, what are your thoughts on the Amazing Spider-Man trailer? I love it. I think it looks cool. The first-person stuff doesn't quite... Actually, I don't know. I saw it on my laptop first, and I was like, wow, that CG doesn't look too hot. But I saw it in theaters, and it looked a lot better. And especially, like, when you keep in mind that they're really building that movie for 3D, which I know that 3D is a dirty word now, and no one wants to see anything in 3D. I don't either, but I'd probably check that out because that swinging sequence, like, especially in a movie theater, looks like it could be fucking intense because, like, it had a lot of, like, you're looking at a building dead on, and then all of a sudden it's looking straight down at the street, like, miles down, and it's like, okay, that could be fucking cool.
Miles down?
Miles.
Jeez.
Yeah.
We start building some crazy-ass buildings up in this place.
This is New York in the future.
We can't all be engineers, right?
Miles down.
Spider-Man on Coruscant. Yeah. Or Alderaan.
Maybe, like, kilometers down.
All right. No, not even that. No.
Well, I'm sorry. Meters down.
Okay.
Meters and meters.
Tons of meters.
Yardsticks. Ugh. All right. Anyways, yeah. A lot of people, I keep seeing people bitch about, like, oh, God, we got to hear this story again. Like, if I ever have to see Spider-Man's origin again, I'll kill myself. And everybody's like, oh, who wants to see this? And I think that it's going to tell it a lot more cinematic. It's going to be a lot more cinematic and a lot cooler and have a much better tone, if you ask me, than the Sam Raimi movie. I think, like, from that trailer, it just looks better. It looks, I hate to say darker, because I don't think Spider-Man should be dark, but it looks more interesting, more cinematic and better. Yeah. So, no, I love it. I love it. And I know a lot of people don't love it, but whatever, man.
Suck my dick.
I saw that trailer and I had the fucking biggest smile on my face. It made my day. I can't wait. But yeah. Dylan, can you do the Gone in 60 Seconds Nick Cage impression, please? The last time you said it, I was on a train and I bursted out with laughter. Take it away, Dylan.
Okay. We're going to steal... How many cars is it?
Is it 650?
We're going to steal 50 cars in 48 hours. I'm a little tired and a little wired. I don't know what he's talking about in that scene, but...
Yeah.
Carla was the prom queen.
Really?
Oh God, the bees! The bees! They're in my eyes! They're in my eyes!
Thank you, Dylan. And that was Dylan Roush. Dylan Raw Dog Roush.
Nick Cage impression.
That's right. All right, Nathan Savage has our final question this week. He says, which single-player game would you most like to see multiplayer in? Co-op or PvP?
Wait, say that again?
What's a single-player game that you would like to see multiplayer in?
That's out right now?
I don't know.
Oh, I'd like to see...
Fallout?
No.
Actually, Fallout or Oblivion would be fucking great.
Why?
Fallout would be
the shooting is so bad.
Two of you guys going through the wasteland.
Like co-op, okay, but like
camping and killing and being Mad Max.
Camping.
Yeah, I can see some of that.
Stealing cars.
Getting a little wired. A little tired.
When I saw that Skyrim would not have anything like that, I was kind of disappointed. I knew it was going to happen, though, but I was hoping. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Javi, you want to be a dragon slayer with me?
You know, I think that Splinter Cell Conviction did a good job of taking a game that, a genre that for the most part was all just straight up single player, and then they made some... I like that they didn't attach it to the single player either. They made like a long list of missions to go on co-op, and they were built specifically for it, and it was so much fun. So if they could do something like that with Metal Gear, like if you could have some co-op sneaking missions, I would be very much interested in that. It'd be a lot of fun. God of War co-op.
Oh no.
Yep. Anybody else? Anything?
No.
Right. No, not really.
No, they put multiplayer in. They put co-op into Saints Row the Third and Saints Row Two. So I'm good. Let's rock it.
It's true.
Base.
Wait. So they have co-op like in the single player?
Yeah. It's yeah. You,
oh, that's
you do
great.
Missions together.
That's really cool.
I can't remember. GTA I can't remember that. If Saints Row 2 had. I don't think it had specific co-op missions. I'm pretty sure it was just doing the normal missions.
That's better though. I think that's cool. Yeah. All right. Well, I think someone's here.
Housekeeping.
Oh hey,
who is it?
Grand sister.
All right. Come on in here, honey.
Where's my burger? No. Make me a burger.
Yeah, Ryan was irate about his burger.
Yeah, where's
that
my
he
burger?
Wanted.
And now she owes me cupcakes too.
Unbelievable!
Unbelievable!
Yeah, these women breaking promises.
Grand sister was the prom queen.
What? No, Dylan, no.
Oh god, you're best.
Godspeed.
All right. If you like the show, go to. Find us on iTunes, Game Over Nation. Rate us, subscribe, tell your friends to listen. You know, do all that stuff.
Yeah. Hey, there's a donate button on that page. Why don't you click that and donate a little money?
Yeah, on our website, on GameOverNation.com, there's a donate button.
Yeah, you should do that.
Yeah, definitely.
We haven't brought that up in a while. I felt like we should.
Sweet.
It ain't there for decoration, folks.
Go to our site, check out what we've got going on, comment. You know, start some conversations. Check out our YouTube channel, Game Over Nation, but the O in over is a zero, so Game Zero Over Nation. Tell your friends to listen to us, show your support. We love you guys. Thank you for listening. And yeah, we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bueno.